What do you think the women were expecting that morning when they went to the tomb? What do you think they were expecting? A body, a dead body. They were expecting death. A tomb is a place of death. When we go to a tomb, when we go to a cemetery, that's what we expect to find. To find death and all of the things that go along with it. For the women, the grief and the sorrow and the loss, the pain, maybe the anger, maybe fear. They were expecting to do something that morning that was neither pretty nor clean nor safe nor fun nor happy nor really all that productive. And still, they went to the tomb. Mary and Joanna and the other Mary and the other women. And all of us have tombs as well, places of death in our lives, places, things in our life that we would rather not see, not do, things that aren't safe or clean or fun, things that don't make us happy, things that may not feel productive. For some of us, it might be something in our past, something that we've done, something that's been done to us. For some of us, it might be deep wounds in present or past relationships. For some of us, it might be depression or anxiety or other forms of mental illness that we can't shake, no matter how hard we try. For some of us, it might be a loved one who's stricken with disease and dying. For some of us, it might be things like global hunger or AIDS epidemics or poverty that exist right around the corner or right in our neighborhood or right down the street or in countries around the world that we've never even been to. Maybe it's injustice and oppression, these things that we all have a tendency to want to avoid. And we'd rather bury them deep in, down in our souls or hide ourselves from them and roll the stone away. Kind of like the disciples that Easter morning, hiding while the women went to the tomb. We're kind of like them when it comes to a lot of things. I imagine they were saying things or thinking things like, what can we possibly hope to find by going to the tomb? What is there for us other than death and pain and all of the fears and sorrows? What could we possibly hope to accomplish by going to this tomb? But then there were the women who went to the tomb. And it was there, into these of Jesus' followers' life, where the beginning seeds of resurrection and hope were planted. The stone has been rolled away, and there are these two men in dazzling white who say, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen." I imagine their hearts starting to race. We know the feeling where we're not quite sure we want to get our hopes up yet, but we are just beginning to consider that there might be something else. There might be the possibility that there is something other than death here for us. They went to the tomb. And what we find is that it's in these tombs, it's in these places of death in our lives and in the world around us where God plants resurrection hope. It's in the places where we experience pain and sorrow and loss and grief and fear and anger. These are the places in our lives where we start to get an idea that maybe God is doing something else. Maybe God has new life, a new creation. This past week, I spent a good amount of time in what I'm calling places of death, in places that were not fun to go. I spent time this week with a man who has days to live, maybe. And as he lay there, I'm not even sure if he was aware. He was just laying there. Spent time with a man who, when I was there, was just on his bed groaning because of the pain in his body and the pain in his mind. I spent time with a woman who is suffering from dementia, and she's living each day with this fear and anxiety that she can't reach God. I spent a lot of time talking on the phone with a friend who is staring at divorce papers after a marriage of 8 years. And none of these really are places I really wanted to be. But then I kept going back to the gospel reading and thinking about this service and realized that these are the places where God begins new things. These are the places where I need to be. These are the places where we need to be. Rather than hiding because we don't know what we can do, to go to the tomb, to go to the places where we would rather not go, just to see maybe God has something else in mind. You see, because what we learn on Easter is that death and life are not these opposite locations where if I want to experience life, I have to turn from death and run the other way. It turns out, according to the gospel, that death is the path that leads us to life. We can't find this new life, a new creation, if we're not willing to go to the tomb. And this is what the angels remind the women. This is what Jesus told you all along when he said, take up your cross and follow me. And if ever anyone would want to save his life, he must lose it for my sake. They said to them, remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again. This is how it works. It was God who took Ezekiel, and where did he place him? In a valley of dry bones, a place of death. And this is where the word begins to come up, this prophetic word, this imagination of something that God is doing, breathing life into dry bones, bringing, restoring God's people to what they were always meant to be. And sometimes it's a painfully slow process to move from this place of grief and sorrow and loss to a place where you can just let go and enjoy God's promises and resurrection. And I was reading Luke 24. The whole resurrection thing in Luke is really a painfully slow process as well. These women, we don't hear about them meeting Jesus. They hear this kind of word of hope. He is not here, he is risen. And then they go and tell the disciples, and Peter and John go to the tomb, and they kind of are amazed. But there's the disciples are buzzing with this, and then two of them go out on the road, and they're walking along, and they're talking about all their confusion about what does this all mean with this stranger. And the second they realize this stranger is actually the risen Christ, he vanishes before they can do anything. And they go back to the disciples, and the disciples again are buzzing. What do we do with this, this loss and grief and hope? And then, finally, Jesus shows up. This path from grief and places of death to hope and new life can be a painfully slow process. But it is in places of death where God plants resurrection hope. And so this is why we walk the path together. Because when there are times where all we can see is death and all we can imagine is the ending of something, we need people who can say, this is where God does new things. God already has a new beginning imagined and maybe even in the works, because this is what God is doing, always bringing new creation. God is always creating new beginnings. And so that's why on Easter in our liturgy, we don't say things like Jesus was resurrected. What do we say? Christ is risen. Jesus is alive. We don't just celebrate this historical event of a resurrection. We celebrate a present reality that Jesus is alive and that God is involved working, transforming, redeeming, bringing new life and new creation where we least expect it. And so, friends, we can go to the tomb. We can face the sin in our souls. We can face the brokenness in our relationships. We can face the injustices in our society. Because it is there, in those places and at those times, where the Easter message breaks through. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Christ is risen. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah.